so much for Christ and all that he's done for us on the cross. And Lord, as we praise you, hallelujah, let's praise the Lord over and over. We say thank you for your grace and your mercy, this time of worship that we've had. Now, Lord, open up our hearts as we study the Word of God. May it speak to us. We pray, Father, not to be ashamed of the Word today, but God, to let it just divide and correct, Father, as it needs to. And Lord, we just welcome your presence as we study the Word. I need you this morning, so help me to preach the good news of Jesus. And we love you. And all of God's people said, in the name of Jesus, amen. Before you sit down, give somebody next to you a hug this morning. All right, give them a hug this morning. All right, all right. We've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, we've been in the book of Luke chapter 7, and we've talked about coming to Jesus and all the different situations that the Lord allows us to come to him. And we've learned that when you are concerned, he welcomes you. When you're concerned, when you're crushed, he welcomes you. And we've had a little bit of a theme verse, and Jared, find that. It's from Matthew chapter 7. And this has been our theme verse, this is from the book of Matthew, I'm sorry. It's been our theme verse that Jesus has talked about, and it's from the book of Matthew. And Jared's getting it here. And Christ tells us that we are to come to him, all of us that labor and that are heavy burden, that he invites us to come. And we've been learning that verse as the Lord welcomes us. And I hope that it speaks to you. Let's read it together if we can. You ready? Here we go. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that a sweet promise today? That if you have hardship and trouble, that Jesus doesn't say, stay away from me. He says, come to me. Isn't that a beautiful promise? He says, just don't be afraid. Just come on, come to me. And we're learning that. We're learning that. We go back to Luke 7. We go back to Luke chapter 7. And we've seen that Jesus heals the centurion's servant. And then we also see that he brings back to life a widow's dead son. And through all these miracles and these events, there's one man that is hearing about these events, but he's not there to see them. And this one man is very, very confused at why he's hearing about people being brought back to life and people being healed. And he's confused because he's locked up in jail while this is happening. So we turn to the book of Luke chapter 7, and God's holy, infallible, and errant word, which we believe speaks to us, says this, starting in verse 18. Then John's disciples told him about all these things. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord, asking, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else? Verse 20. When the men reached him, that is Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who's to come, or should we look for someone else? Lord, may your word speak to us this morning. John the Baptist was a great man of God. Actually, John's ministry began before the ministry of Jesus. The prophecies of John was that he would be the forerunner of Christ. And what he would do is that he would go out into the wilderness, and he was a wild man. I mean, he didn't wear robes. He didn't wear good-looking clothes. He wore camel hair. I just imagine him looking like wild. Big, bushy beard, big, bushy hair. You know what he ate for fun? Bugs. This guy snacked on bugs, wore camel hair on his clothes, and lived in the desert. If we would have saw him today, we probably would have committed, oh, John the Baptist. But he was a man that preached the kingdom of God, repentance. And John was getting people ready for the coming of Jesus. And you can read in the beginning of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they all talk about John the Baptist's witness. And John's there baptizing in the river, and here comes Jesus. And John stops. And he looks up on the hill and he says, whoa, stop it. Behold the Lamb of God. This is a man that I shouldn't be baptized. And this is a man that should baptize me. I'm not even worthy to tie up his shoes. And the Bible says that when Jesus came to be baptized by John, and the reason Jesus did that, just to give you a side commentary here, when we are baptized, we identify with Jesus. But at Jesus' baptism, he identified with who? With us. And when Jesus was baptized by John, the Bible says that heaven opened up, the Spirit came down like a dove, the Father spoke out loud, said, "This is my Son." I mean, and it was a beautiful day. And John the Baptist's ministry was to proclaim that Jesus was here. This was the Messiah. This was the one we're waiting for. This is the Savior of the world. And we see in John's ministry that when John pronounces Jesus is here, John begins to fade out. The Gospels don't really talk about John the Baptist very much anymore. He resurfaces here and there. But the Bible tells us what happens to John. As John was preaching, this wild man, he critiqued the political leader because the political leader was living in sin. And as he critiqued the political leader had him arrested. Isn't it great that no matter what the government says, we still preach Jesus? We still preach Jesus. And you know what? I don't care if the IRS takes our tax exempt status or not. We're going to preach Jesus. We're going to preach Jesus, all right? It doesn't matter to me. We're going to preach Jesus. John the Baptist was preaching. And as he was preaching, they arrested him. And now you pick up when John's in prison. And John is hearing about all these things that Jesus is doing. That he's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, all this stuff. But John's confused. Because wasn't this the man that's going to rescue us all? Wasn't he the man that was going to overthrow the evil? But yet, I'm preaching out in the woods, in the desert, eating bugs for fun, and wearing camel hair. And it lands me where? In prison. And when John hears about this, this is one of the most perplexing verses. How could the man who declared that this was the Son of God, who heard the voice of the Lord, who saw the Spirit come down at the baptism, how can he send people to Jesus while he's in jail and ask this question? Are you the one that's coming? Or should we look for somebody else? How can he say that? Because didn't he see heaven open? Didn't he pronounce, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God"? Because here's why. When you're going through a hard time and you get confused, it'll take you to dark places. And it'll make you question everything you believe in. It'll put you through the grinder, and it will make you think about everything you've ever said, everything you've ever believed. Confusion can be a powerful, powerful tool of the devil. The Bible actually tells us that God is not the author of confusion, that confusion does not come from the Lord. Now, when I was in college, I began to I was taught one way, and then when I came to college, I learned about different theological views and things like that, and I learned that there were different views on the end times, you know, how God was going to come back and how Jesus was going to come back. And the more I learned about all those views, I'll be honest with you, it confused me. You know, one says this way and another says that way. And this part of Revelation says this, but Daniel says that and this and that. And I had a friend of mine that was a pastor, and he really helped me with this. And hearing about all these views, I said, man, I just don't know what to believe. I read and study this, and it just seems like it's just so confusing. I just don't get it. And I loved what he said. And I said, his name was Todd. I said, Todd, are you a pre-trib, a post-trib, a mid-trib, an amillennialist, a premillennialist, all these confusing terms? And he said, Kenny, you know what I am? I said, what's that, Todd? He said, I'm a pan. I said, a pan? He said, yeah, it'll pan out the way God wants it to. And you know, as silly as that sounds, it changed my life. It changed my life because there's just some things that you're not going to have the answer to. Did you know that? There's just some things that God is not going to come off of his throne and tell you why it happened. Now, I would love to tell you that you're going to get all your questions answered in heaven. I'd love to tell you that. But I'm not even for sure the Bible teaches that. Did you know that? I'm not even for sure when you get to heaven, you're going to find out everything. You might not. I do know this. If you get to heaven, you'll get to see Jesus, and that's all that matters. It's all that matters. But as we think about confusion and things that confuse us, there's some of us today that are confused. and confused about a lot of different stuff because, you know, here you gave your life to Christ, you're trying to come to church, and you're trying to get things together, and you're still struggling with what you've been struggling with. You still have that problem that's lurking around. Or maybe you gave your life to Christ and you got exposed to different theologies or different deeper doctrines, and you're confused. And you're just kind of scratching your head saying, I just don't get this stuff, man. I mean, the preacher said, come to Jesus. It's simple. Childlike faith. Come to Christ. And then I'm still struggling. I'm still wrestling. I'm still doing this stuff, this and that, that and this. And I'm still having a hard time. And it seems a whole lot more complicated, a whole lot more difficult than what the preacher said it was. And I think as we do that and as we give our lives to Christ and we get to that point where confusion's setting in, two things can happen. It either draws closer to God with us being okay with not having all the answers, but having Jesus, or it will make us abandon God. And as we've talked about in every one of these sermons, that if you don't come to Christ, you will ultimately go away from Christ with your concerns or crushings or whatever it is. And it's the same way with confusion, that if you don't know the answers, but you're not content with just Jesus, if you're not content with just Christ, it has a way of just taking you to dark, deep, dark places. Now, I have questions too. I mean, I would love to tell you that all my theology is just, you know, I know all the answers. I would love to. I would love to tell you that I understand how God is sovereign and knows who's going to be saved while still allowing us to have free will. I would love to tell you how I understand that. I would love to tell you that. And I guess God is just so sovereign that our free will won't mess up His sovereignty, you know? He's that sovereign. I'd love to tell you I understand everything about the end times. I'd love to tell you that I understand why people that are godly still suffer, or why there's still evil in the world after Christ has come. I just don't have those answers. I just don't have that. And by the way, beware of anybody, any preacher that says he does. Beware of any preacher that says that he has the cookie cutter answer to everything. Because you know what? He doesn't. There is a mystery of life. And sometimes in that mystery, you won't ever get the answers. But you got to know who to cling to in times of confusion. You have to know who to grab a hold to when the answers just aren't there. You have to be content with understanding who it is that you need to go to. We must not let doubt and confusion, say that last phrase with me, keep us from Jesus. We cannot let it keep us from Jesus. Friend, I don't know why that happened to you. Friend, I don't know why you're struggling with what you're struggling with. I don't know why you are dispositioned to be one way or the other. But here's what I do know. In the times of confusion, in the times of hardship, in the times when you just don't have the answer, don't run away from Jesus. Don't do it. You're running away from the answer. You're running away from the one thing that makes sense. Don't run away from the Lord when things don't make sense. Don't do it. John the Baptist sends some guys to Jesus because he's in prison. He can't come talk to him himself. And he just says, man, are you the one? And look what Jesus says. We look at verse 21. At that time, Jesus healed many. And by the way, the boys have already come. They said, are you the one, or we're expecting somebody else? And the Bible says, at that time, Jesus healed many people of diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and he granted sight to many blind people. He replied to them, go and report to John the very things you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And anyone who is not offended because of me is blessed. See, the Jews of Jesus' day, when they were longing for the Messiah and expecting the Messiah, they thought he was going to be a political leader. They thought that when God sent the Messiah, that he was going to overthrow Rome. Now, why is that important? Because Rome was the occupying force of Israel. They were kind of a police state. Israel was policed by Rome. And so when they were longing for the Messiah, they thought the Messiah was going to come and bring heaven to earth. And heaven on earth would get rid of Rome. Israel would be elevated back to its glory days. And the new Messiah would be the king. And all the trouble would go away. And it would just literally be the kingdom of Israel, the end. But when Jesus came, the prophecies was not just that Israel would be this elevated state. It was bigger than that. It wasn't that Rome was going to be kicked out of power. It was that the devil was going to be kicked out of power. It wasn't that they were going to be released from the shackles of Rome. They were going to be released from the shackles of sin. And they didn't understand that the coming of Jesus was much, much bigger than politics. That the kingdom of heaven would start with those who believe. That if you believe in Jesus, the kingdom of heaven starts right there. And we bring the kingdom of heaven with us wherever we go. And one day when he returns, the earth will be recreated and it'll be a brand new earth. Not just heaven on earth, but a brand new earth. And they struggled with that. But the prophecies was clear that the Messiah would heal the sick. He calls the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. And when these boys come to Jesus and they say, well, are you the one? Jesus says, well, what do you see? What do you see happening? Are you seeing the deaf hearing? Well, yeah. Are you seeing the sick get better? Yeah. Are you seeing dead people coming back to life? Yeah. Well, 1 + 1 = 2. Am I the Messiah? Yeah. Yeah. Well, go tell John. Go tell John that the testimony is true, that it bears witness. Don't you love that? They run back and say, yeah, John, everything you've heard is real. And don't you wonder, just John says, well, why am I still in prison? Because the testimony was enough. The testimony of who Jesus is and was doing was enough. Now, I don't know why you're dealing with what you're dealing, but don't you dare think for one minute that God has abandoned you or given up. Don't you dare think for one minute that the Lord is against you. Don't you think in your confusion that you need to run away from Jesus and give up on Jesus. Because it just ain't true. And what the Lord's telling you is quit looking at your current circumstances and situations and just look at how good I am. And he asked this question, are the blind being sick? Are the dead being raised? Am I still powerful? And the answer is yes. So today, don't dwell on your current circumstances thinking that God is against you. But look at the Lord and ask yourself this question, is God still saving people? Yes or no? Is God still releasing people from their bondage? Yes or no? You know, I look up here at this praise band and I see people on this stage that was out of church for years and years. And God reconnected them, and now they're singing and leading and beating on drums and playing guitars for the Lord. I see people in this church giving their lives to Christ, being saved. There's been people that were baptized in this church that was pretty sure when they were baptized that the water needed to be hauled off to some sort of containment unit because of how much junk came off of it. Toxic waste dump. But listen. God is still in the business of saving people. I'm sorry that you're going through what you're going through. Yeah, he's awesome. I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through. But listen, look around at lives changed. He's not inactive. He's not inactive. He's alive. And as hearts are being changed and people are being touched, understand that whatever you're dealing with, God's not silent. He's not invisible. So, here you go. Remain focused on the main man. Just remain focused on the main man. Remain focused on the main man. When you're confused and you don't have all the answers and you don't know what it's all about, just stay focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, buddy. Just remain focused on the main man. Remain focused on him. And when you look at Jesus and how awesome he is, no matter what you're going through, you'll have a reason to get your praise on. Because he's good. And he saves people. And he's alive. Second, I want you to remember that people, even great people, remember that great people, godly people still get confused. After Jesus told these boys, go tell John, the miracles have happened, and they leave. Look what Jesus says. After John's messengers left, he began to speak to the crowds about John. And look what he says. Is he going to get mad at John? Is he going to yell at John? Is he going to say, how in the world could a man that saw heaven opened say this? How could that happen? But look what he says. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind? No. Well, what then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft robes? No, he wore camel. Luxury camel, right? You know? Look, those who are splendidly dressed and live in luxury are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and far more than a prophet. This is the one that's written about. Look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. So Jesus does not yell at John for his confusion. He does not condemn John for his confusion. What does he do? He turns around and says, y'all are probably wondering why John asked this. Well, I want you to know that John was prophesied in Scripture that he would be the forerunner. He would be the Elijah that would come and prepare the way for me. And he was a great man. And he was a godly man. And he was a great prophet. And when Jesus told him that, you know what that tells me? That even godly people get confused sometimes. Here you are thinking you're the only one that has questions and doubts, and even great godly people get confused. You ain't alone. You're a human being. You are a human. John the Baptist struggled with this. In the 1940s, there was two famous evangelists. One of them was by the name of Charles Templeton. And Templeton went on to enroll in college, and he got exposed to higher education and things like that. And I don't want you to think I'm against higher education. I mean, I have a bachelor's and a master's degree myself. I don't want you to think that I'm against higher education. But this man got exposed to different theologies and different degrees and things like that. And he began to question God's Word. And he began to believe that the Bible was not inerrant, which means that he believed it had errors in it, and nor infallible. And he began to just completely doubt huge sections of the Bible. And he told his other friend, the other evangelist, that he just could not believe in the book anymore. And he asked the evangelist, how can you answer some of the questions that my professors are asking me? And that evangelist had a very important crusade in California that was looming on the horizon. And he was about to preach that, and he was at a crisis of faith. Would he believe the Bible? Would he not believe the Bible? What did he do? History tells us that that evangelist, the one that was confused because of his friend that kind of messed him up, he wrote this in his autobiography. He said he went out to the desert and he spent some time with God. And this is what he says. I was trying to be on the level with God, but something remained unspoken. At last, the Holy Spirit freed me to say it. Father, and this is what he prayed, Father, I'm going to accept this Bible as your word by faith. I'm going to allow faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and doubts, and I will believe this to be your inspired word. Rising from his knees, tears in his eyes, he sensed the power of God as he had not felt it for in months. And he says this, not all my questions were answered, but a major bridge had been crossed. He chose to believe, even though he may not know all the answers, by faith in God. You know who that man was? Billy Graham is who that was. That was the evangelist. Hey, come on. John was a great man, but Billy even doubted. Come on. Billy doubted. Come, Billy doubted, man. Billy did. Billy Graham doubted. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Godly people still struggle, don't they? Billy Graham, man. Come on, Billy. Billy boy doubted. He had a hard time. Remember that. And be encouraged by what Billy Graham said. He said that not all my questions were answered, but he decided to accept the Bible as truth by what? By faith. And that's what it all boils down to, is you accept it by faith. Now, there's a lot of great apologetics that you can study and reasons why our faith makes sense, and we could go on that. But in the end, it's all about your faith. And it takes us to our next point. And I think Billy pegged it. He made the decision to believe and trust. And this is it. Respond to his call, even if you don't understand it all. You got to respond to him. even if it doesn't make sense. Jesus went on to tell us, I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John. He said, at that time, there was nobody on earth that was born greater than John the Baptist. He was a great man of God. But he says, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. There's something about placing your faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in Jesus that makes you great today. A simple faith of believing that Jesus is God, believing He died on the cross and rose from the grave by faith, believing and accepting in Jesus. And that is a great thing today. And that puts you in a great position where sins are forgiven and hope is in your life and Jesus is in your life and the Spirit of God is sealed upon your heart, where the Lord does great and mighty things. By faith, we admit to God we're sinners. By faith, we believe that Jesus was who He said He was, that He died on the cross and He rose again. And by faith, we choose to follow Jesus. Giving our lives to Christ. Not knowing all the answers, but just believing that Jesus is who He said He is. And I resolve it today that no matter what questions or controversies or seasons of life that I struggle with, that I will hold on to Jesus. To Jesus. Whether I'm confused or happy, that Jesus is constant. And I don't give up on Jesus. Because He doesn't give up on me. Now, it's not in your notes, but if you got your Bibles, I want you to go down a little bit further. He talks to these people, and there were some in that room that did respond to His preaching, and some didn't. And then He says this. He says this in 31, and it's not on the screen. You're just going to have to listen if you don't have your Bible. Good reason to bring your Bible to church. Amen. Yeah. All right. So, here we go. 31. And this is the same context, the same story. And He's talking about how even John was a human being, but they responded to John. Even though John had struggles and doubts, they still responded. And would they respond to Jesus? And He says, to what then should I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? Verse 32, they are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to each other. We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a lament, but you didn't weep. Jesus is saying this. He says, you know, you're going to have to take this by faith. And you're going to have to respond one way or the other. And it's kind of like a little kid playing a flute. Are you going to dance to the flute? Or it's like somebody singing a funeral dirge. Are you going to wail with them? Is it going to move you? Is it going to speak to you? Are you going to respond? And you know, the thing about music is I don't understand a lot about music. I don't understand chords on a guitar or chords on a piano. I don't understand how sound equipment works. That's obvious, right? You know, so I don't understand that. I don't understand how speakers work and the soundboard works or how you can buddy unmute Terrence's piano. I don't understand how you can hit random notes and it sounds like nothing, but if you put them together, it makes a chord. I don't understand how that works. You put it together. And I don't understand how you could do this and then have a keyboard or have a guitar player doing something else with it. I don't understand music. I just don't. But I do understand when a song's getting me going, how to tap my foot. Now listen, I'm a recovering Baptist. I like to tap my foot. All right? I like to clap. I like to get happy. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't know the mechanics of music. I also know when I'm at a funeral that sometimes I may have not even known the person, but I see the weeping family. I didn't know the person, but it breaks my heart to see them, and I'll cry right along with them. Right along with them, and I didn't even know the person, but it moves me. And I think the thing about it is that you don't have to understand how a flute works or even have to understand how a funeral works. You don't have to understand how God works. You don't have to understand the whole Bible. You don't have to understand what the end is going to pan out to look like. You don't have to. But when you feel the Holy Spirit moving in your heart, you need to dance with them. When you feel them singing the lament over sin, you need to weep over your sin. When you feel them tugging on your heart, you need to move. When you feel them reaching in and convicting you of sin, telling you to give your life to Him, you need to move. I don't understand it all, nor do I claim to understand it all. And here's your last little blank. But my encouragement to you is that we will come to Christ by faith. By faith. That you believe who Jesus was. And by faith, you allow Him to live in your life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Some today that may have never given their heart to Christ. Oh, how the Lord is tugging on your heart. Maybe as I was sitting there talking about feeling His presence, you felt that in your life. You felt that in your heart. And today, as just Taryn begins to play softly at first, and the band can jump in later, okay? Maybe today you're feeling today the tug of Jesus on your heart. My prayer is that you would not say no to that, but you would respond. Well, Kenny, I don't know. I don't know all the answers. I don't understand why this is happening to me, why I'm struggling with what I'm struggling with. Hey, I don't either. But if He's calling you to serve Him today, would you just say yes? Maybe you need to give your life to Him for the very first time. Pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I don't understand at all, but I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and that He came back to life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you for saving me. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe you ask the Lord in your heart today for the very first time. I want to know that. I want you to tell somebody that. I want you to make that known today. When people come forward, just step out, tell somebody. Maybe today you're a Christian and you just got lots of questions. And if you could stand before God right now, you'd ask Him some of those questions. But you don't have the answers right now. My question is to you is this. Will you make a decision to still trust Christ even if you don't have all the answers? Would you just pray that right now in your heart? Say, Lord, help me to trust You. Help me, just like Billy Graham did, accept it by faith, even if I don't understand it all. Regardless of what science says, philosophy says, I by faith accept it. Father, there are people today that are confused and hurting, and Lord, may You just move in their lives and help them. I pray today that they'll find the peace, Lord, that they need. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. You can come and pray today. Maybe you need to come and tell me something, or maybe you need to come and have prayer today.